book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Some of you probably know where I'm going. Ephesians 5. I was told this was a singing church. You sing loud. I like that because I don't have to talk to you about singing loud, because the Bible talks a lot about singing loud. That's very important. That means sometimes you have soft to make it loud stand out. That's okay, because you have contrast. It's part of being in music. But you sing, and you're singing the right kinds of music. You're singing the right hymns. So I'm not going to teach you anything tonight that probably you haven't already heard. Music's my field. I started taking piano lessons when I was 7. That was in the 1950s. That's 1950s, not 1850s. Some of my students think it's 1850s, but anyway. Took classical training in piano for a number of years, and I started playing sports. But then my dad was a pastor. He took a church in Waco, Texas, where I ended up meeting my wife, Miss Reed, in Waco. And he took a church there, and they needed a piano player, so I couldn't really play hymns much, but, you know, if you've had some training, you can learn. And so I started working on hymns, and just part of music, maybe singing, playing the piano. I never was a song leader till I was 28 years old, and that's kind of been my field ever since. But the Lord's allowed me to work with a lot of good groups and good churches, and get to teach philosophy of music and fundamentals of music and advanced music theory. That's exciting. Oh, that's so exciting. Wow. And choirs and things like that. But I love music, and I think it's so important, and that's what, Lord willing, we're going to be able to talk to you about. It's an honor to be here. There's 500 direct references in the Bible to music. That would make you think it's important, right? Indirectly, it's about 750. So the Lord has mentioned, and it's a lot more than he ever mentioned his first coming, the same number as he mentioned his second coming. So the Lord's putting music on a very high pinnacle there. Here's where I stand, so you'll know up front. I believe the King James Bible's perfect. There's not one mistake in it. You can't, don't add a word, take away a word. You don't need to go to the Greek. I mean, I teach Greek, but you don't need to go to the Greek to learn more. It's in here. You have a perfect book. We wouldn't add a word or take away a word at all. And we teach, and these students know, it's the Bible. It's the King James Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. All matters of faith and practice. That applies to music. So because it's mentioned so often, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, but he primarily gives us a lot. Our church doctrine comes from the Apostle Paul. So there's two places in your New Testament where he really just hones in on what our music should be. And so we're going to see these tonight, and they're two very vital verses in the Pauline epistles. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves. Do y'all stand for the reading of the Word of God?
Yes, sir.
All right, stand. We do too. I don't want to, well, traditions are not that important, but I like to do that. It's very important. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I want you to notice the word songs, and I want you to notice the word spiritual. These two words are the key to the message tonight. We know what psalms are. We know what hymns are. They magnify and glorify God. Psalms is singing like out of the Bible. But when you get there, songs are the two key words. I'm going to ask you some questions. Are you going to listen? Hope you will. Spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to who? The Lord. Your audience is the Lord. We call it an audience of one. That's who really, when you're singing, it should not, even these young ladies, I tell them, you're not singing to this congregation. You're singing to the Lord. And if you're not, if you're just performing, that's not what we need. We don't need that. We have plenty of that. We want to sing to the Lord. So it's making melody in your heart. Turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. This one's easy to remember. It's 3:16. There's another 3:16 in the Bible somewhere that people know real well. Let the word of God. See that? Colossians 3:16. You have it? Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And here's this three-point outline. So our music is to be psalms, hymns, and what? Spiritual songs. Notice it says spiritual. That's going to be a key. It's not carnal. And I'm going to tell you, and you know this probably, but I'm going to tell you what songs are. Songs are two things. It's not a song unless it has both. It must have words, and it must have music. And both of them need to be spiritual. Now, you see, we have this crowd around today. I know what your pastor is concerned about, and I know what we're concerned about. We have this crowd out there today. A lot of them used to be independent Baptists, and they've gone the CCM route, contemporary music route, and we're losing some of our young people because I don't know why they would be fall for that, but they do. And all contemporary Christian music is, folks, is just rock music. That's what it is. This is my field. I can go all the way back with it, but it is rock music. I remember as a young man in the 60s, the rebellion point, you know, where the girls, their skirts got short, and the guys, you know, they were smoking dope, and they were rebelling against our country and burning the flag and all of that, and they would sing, and that's where rock music came in. Well, they had rock music, Woodstock, places like that, all over. Well, then some people started witnessing to them. Some of them got saved. But when they got saved, they did not get rid of their music. You're supposed to. You know, old things are passed away. All things have become new. You're supposed to. But they did not. They hung on to their music, and they hung on to their standards, which were none. And the group became the Jesus People back in the 60s and going through there. And that's kind of the roots of what is the contemporary movement is today. You can go all the way back, and this is history. It's not hard to determine. But they would not give up their music. So what they said, we'll do, we'll put some nice words with some rock music we like to listen to. Because listen, I'm a musician. I love to listen to all kinds of music, but I can't. Jazz, I love, but I can't listen to it. It's not right, you know. Some country music, some rock music might be okay, you know, as far as musical, but I can't listen to it because it's not right. It's ungodly, and its themes are ungodly, and its bass is ungodly, and I cannot go there. And yet we have a bunch of young people and young adults and some older adults in our churches that I've got into this, and they just think, well, if the words are okay, we can use any music we want to as the delivery system. And here it is. A song is words and music. Two things. Got that? What is a song? It's words put to music. The music has the most power. You may not think that, but it does. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed? It's just a poem. But when you sing with me. Oh, say, can you see? And we have to go any further, but you understand. It becomes alive, doesn't it? It's the music that does it. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Sing with me. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder. Hey, the poem comes alive with what? It's not just the music is where the power is. But these people lie to you and they tell you music is amoral. Music is neutral. It has no power. That's the word they spread, and it's an absolute lie. Why? Because the devil knows music is a powerful tool. He was a musician. He fell. He wants people to worship him, and he gets our music just like he gets our Bible with these false Bibles, and he'll destroy you. And so our young people, I've talked to too many preachers through the years, and I'll ask them, when a good church starts to go south, starts to go the wrong direction, what is the precursor? What is the first thing? They, you know, almost invariably say, the music. If the music goes south, starts a little bit of the CCM, and they'll stay blended at first. You know, that means you're white, black, you know, hot, cold, blend it all up. It doesn't work. You can't have sweet and sour in the same fountain. But that's what they do. They blend it. And then they end up with contemporary, and it's just rock music. Now you say, Brother Reed, I don't believe that. I'm going to give you some quotes from the guys. I'm going to tell you, it is what it is. So that's what they do. They go, the music goes, and then you know what they go next? Somewhere behind the music will be your King James Bible and your standards and your soul winning. And before long, you are, we call them in our area, box churches. You know, these big old things. Man, you get in there, they have a rock concert on Sunday morning, etc. Y'all want to sit down? Okay, that's fine. Go ahead and sit down. All right. We read the verse. Hey, I got to stand the whole time. Hey, if you ever have Bob Smith up here, he'll make you stand half the service before he remembers to take after him. But anyway, there, the context of these passages are so important to help us. This outline is very simple. It says Psalms. That's singing the Bible. It may not be a psalm. It could be trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, Proverbs. That's okay. It could be, but singing the Bible is kind of like singing psalms. A hymn is going to be a song of praise to God, a magnify God. And then there's spiritual songs. Now, what are spiritual songs? Well, the word spiritual is very important, but in our hymnal, in our singing, it would be songs of testimony, or songs of witness, or songs of Christ coming, or songs of heaven, or service, or missions, or soul winning, or salvation. Those would be what we would call, they're not necessarily a song magnifying God, but they're a spiritual song. Okay? That's what they are. So what does a song have? Spiritual words and music. And that word that's right in front of the word songs is very important. You know what an adjective is? In Texas, our grammar is so, I teach in college English grammar, so I'm, oh my. But an adjective modifies, right? Okay. It explains a noun. Spiritual song. Now, since the Bible says spiritual songs, that indicates to me there's maybe some songs that aren't spiritual. When you read your King James Bible, read every word. So there would be carnal songs. You think that's possible? You think rock music might fit that area? I think it might. But and since our music is supposed to be spiritual songs and songs made up of words and music really has more power than the words themselves, then our music needs to be spiritual, okay? And both must be right. Spiritual words, spiritual music. Can I show you a few verses so you'll think I'm not exaggerating? I'll tell you what, you can write these down because he told me I only had 2 hours to preach, so I've got to hurry. All right. Just write these down. Check out the passages. 1 Samuel 16 is a story of a man named Saul that had an evil spirit. And a young man named David comes in and plays his harp. Is there any indication in that passage, when you read, is there any indication that David sang? Now, he was a singer. But in that passage, he's just playing his harp. And when he played his harp, the evil spirit went away. The power of music. Not, he didn't even need words, right? The power of music is the power. I'm telling you, I used to not say, when I was a young man, I used to say, oh, words are so important. And they are. It's important. Let's say, but words are important, but how about the delivery system? That's music. Let's say Brother Ross, he would never do this, but say he's a good preacher, one of the best preachers in this country. He stands in front of you and he has a good message, but the night before the word got around that he got drunk. Now that wouldn't happen, would it? Better not happen. You'd put a knot on his head, wouldn't you? All right. Now, if you came in the next Sunday morning on Saturday night, you heard he was drunk. And then he came in and preached the same message that he'd been preaching. Would it have any effect on you? You'd just tune it out, wouldn't you? Well, that's what happens. The words are important, but the delivery system is the music. And that music must be clean. And if that is unclean, does that make sense? If that delivery system is not clean, you're in trouble. And it must be clean. Exodus 32 is another story in the Bible. Exodus 32 is where Moses and Joshua are up on a mountain. God's given them the Ten Commandments. And they come down from the mountain. God wrote the Ten Commandments. That was the originals, by the way. But they got broke. We still have them, don't we? All right. That's another subject. All right. But God wrote the Ten Commandments on 2 tablets for Moses. And he starts down the mountain, and they start to hear something. Joshua was a man of war. He said, man, it sounds like there's a war going on. Now, you kind of know what was going on at the bottom, right? Down there at the bottom. They are worshiping, you know, like Baal worship, calves, and dancing and having a rock concert. What's going on? I mean, it describes it, doesn't it? They're singing, dancing, taking their clothes off, and worshiping false gods. I wonder who's behind all that. And I wonder what kind of music that was. You think it was Amazing Grace? You say it wasn't written yet. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever was good, they weren't singing that. It's a rock concert. Music had power. The music has the power to get folks to worship a false idol, false god. It's powerful. You say that, I don't believe that. Well, then turn over to Daniel 3. In Daniel 3, you got three Hebrew children, and you got a king that builds this colossus, Nebuchadnezzar, golden statue, and he wants everybody to worship it. And let me ask you this. What did he do to get them to worship it? Well, they had all this sackbut and harp and psaltery, and then it says, and all kinds of music. Was anybody singing? All it says was just music. But when they heard that, they bowed down and worshiped a false god. Music powerful, and the devil uses it just like it is to worship God. That's what it's about. The devil uses it to get you to worship him and worship his idols. Another place in Matthew chapter 14, you can look at this one up too. There was a great preacher named John the Baptist. You ever hear John the Baptist? All right. He was arrested by Herod. And Herod was a wicked man, and he had taken his brother's wife, Herodias, and he was a wicked man. He took her, and he wanted to kill John the Baptist, but he's afraid to. Politics. He's afraid to. But this little belly dancer came out there that was the daughter of Herodias and started dancing around in front of Herod. And Herod said, well, whatever you want, sweetie, I'll give it to you. And her mother said, I want John the Baptist's head on a charger. So a Baptist preacher gets his head cut off. Now, is there any indication anybody was singing? But what kind of music you think that was? You think that music had power? Oh, sure it does. Hollywood knows it has power. Listen, you study music history. Everyone knows how powerful music is except contemporaries. And they tell you it has nothing. You say, Brother Reed, you're lying to me. All right, here it is. Here's a guy named Rick Warren. I wouldn't recommend you read anything he writes, okay? But Rick Warren he wrote the book called The Purpose-Driven Church. I did not buy this. Somebody gave it to me, but I thought I'm going to use it for an illustration. And I found the music part. Here it is. His name of his church is Saddleback. What a name for a church. And it's a huge monstrosity. They had a presidential debate there with that guy. Page 285. Saddleback is unapologetically a contemporary music church. We've often been referred to as the flock that likes to rock. We use the style of music the majority of the people in our church listen to on the radio. It's a universal music style that can be heard in every country of the world. It's called contemporary pop rock. What do you think the contemporary church has listened to? That right there. Miss Gail and I went to make a visit here a while back. Somebody visited our church and loved it. It was a long little trip out there, and we talked to them. And they said, man, we like your church. We like your music. We like your spirit. I said, you're going to come back? No. No, we have this church we go to. And we stand up the whole time. Now, I held you for a long time. Well, I didn't mean, I'm sorry. You probably need to exercise. I'm not really. Okay. But she said, we stand up the whole time and we dance. And we have and it's like an hour service. And they're just that's what they wanted. And these people weren't spring chickens. I mean, they were probably 50, 55, something like that. Now, I don't know what a spring chicken is to you, but anyway. But Rick Warren says it's the music heard around the world. It's called contemporary pop rock. Most, here it's a direct quote, most TV commercials use the contemporary rock style. Even country and western has adopted it. There you go. He said, I'll just listen to country. I was talking to evangelist one time. We were talking about this. And I said, man, we got to watch that contemporary. He said, yeah. And I said, even on the country. Oh, said, oh, no, I like country music. I'm not going to tell you his name. I thought that was hilarious. It wasn't your husband, okay, but no, he wouldn't say that. But you know him. I'm not going to tell you. And I know what he meant. You know, we all, our flesh likes certain things. But we have to defeat it. We have to fight it. It's very important to do that. Now, there's some things. Talking about defeating, Lee Robertson, an old great preacher, said, you cannot defeat a singing Christian. A song in the heart means courage for the hard task and peace for the dark hour. Be a victorious singing Christian. Music encourages, teaches, and points people to the Savior. And that's the right kind of music. Dr. Howell said, there is nothing more vital than proper music within the church. I agree with that 100%. Dr. Harold Henniker, these are old guys. These are my generation. Y'all may not know some of these. Harold Henniker says, you cannot build a great church without great music. But you can't build a church just on great music. Music's very important, but the preaching. Y'all got the preacher. Okay, you got that. Dr. Treber said, everything can be right in your church and you can lose it through your music. I agree with that 100%. My pastor for many years, Dr. Bob Smith, says you live on the level of the music you listen to. You live on the level of the music. What do you listen to at home? Oh, we got the right music here at church. What about your car? Have you got stuff and you got devices where you're listening to stuff that your mom and daddy don't know about teenagers? Or maybe some of you young adults, or maybe some of you older adults. You know, you kind of bring back memories. All right. Here's what Rick Warren also says. I'm going to go the other side now. He said, I reject the idea that music styles can be judged as good or bad. Music is immoral. There is no such thing as Christian music. There are only Christian lyrics. Now, that is a lie straight from hell, folks. But a bunch of weak Baptists have fallen for that thing, and they're running with it because they like to listen to that. And here's their excuse: we want to reach the young people. Well, if you reach them, they're not going anywhere. There's some verses we'll get to in just a second. Mick Jagger, ooh, blah 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 blah, blah Jagger. We are moving after their minds. And so are most of the new groups. And this was in the 60s when he said this. But they still do the same thing. They're going after our minds. That's what music does. They do it with music. You can't tell me the words. Most people can only understand the words of rock music. You can understand the words of country music, unfortunately. I mean, you know what you listen to. Rock music, it's sex, immorality, rebellion, and drugs. You take those away, they have nothing. Country music, it's a pickup truck. It's drinking beer. It's a girl wearing blue jeans or something not very covering. It's riding around. You know what it is. You lose your dog. You get on the train. You go down the road. Come back. It's just country music. The themes are just the same old thing. And it's country music. Is that spiritual? Mm-mm. David Crosby, now this guy was one of the great in the world, ways of the world. Not ours. David Crosby, there was a group called Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young back in the 60s and 70s, and he was responsible for a tremendous amount of rock music. He said, I figure the only thing we could do is swipe their kids. In the 60s, that's what they were doing. Mom and Dad had raised them right. So many of them went to church, so they had to find a way to get the kids away from mom and dad. So how do they do it? He said, the only thing we could do is swipe their kids. By saying that, I'm not talking about kidnapping. I am talking about changing their value system, which very effectively removes them from their parents' world and from their church's world. How they do it? Through the music. That's what they did. Enough said on that. I'm telling you, there's a method to the madness that goes on. Now, spiritual songs as opposed to carnal. It's worded that way intentionally. And I wanted to just look at some of those quotes. Now, let's do some, just take the passages we're in. We're in Colossians. And let's just check the context to see what God's really saying. Would you like to look at the Word of God and let it speak to you? Colossians chapter 3, that's where the verse is. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. By the way, I want you to underline those last three words. To the Lord. Isn't that what we're talking about a while ago? The audience of one? All right. What is the this passage? What is it about? If ye then, verse 1, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Who is this talking about? Is not this talking about someone that just is saved? And that's got to be. Okay? You're risen with Christ. You have a new life in Christ. That's what he's talking about there. And tells you what your affection should be. So it describes, the context describes a saved person. Now look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, say all that fast, which is idolatry. How about verse 8? Now you put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Let me ask you this. When rock music is out there and rap and all that stuff, isn't this all what it's all about right here, what we just read? It's wicked. It's ungodly. It's wicked. And that's what the themes are of that music. And yet people say, well, it's just the words. It's not the music. You can't even understand. Except there's some of the words you hate to hear when you go to the gas station. Somebody's playing it real loud. But it's filthy. But it's the music. The music is driven. There's three parts to music. It's very important that you know the three parts, especially if you're a musician. It has melody, melodics that's called. It has rhythm, rhythmics that's called. It has intensity or volume called dynamics. Those three things make music. Rock music, it has melody, but it's far overshadowed by the rhythm. The rhythm drives it. Have you ever been, see these cars? You see y'all living, I would love to live around here. We go into Metroplex, the cars bounce down the road. They're playing the, boom, 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 all over the place. And, they'll go by and play it real loud to try to impress you. And the rhythm drives rock music.
Right.
And the rhythm drives this music of this contemporary group because it is rock music. Now you say, well, it's soft rock. It's rock music. The man that has the biggest church, and there's others. Yes, the others the same thing. It's rock music. That's what they're putting out there and telling you, the music has no power. It's neutral. It's immoral, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, when you read this passage, it's very clear. It says in verse 8, that's the kind of stuff when you were carnal. But now, you also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And it tells you what you're supposed to do. A saved man does that. Look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, it's a new man. Kind of show you something. Turn to Psalm. There's my pastor I worked with for 22 years, Dr. Jim McGahee. Some of you might have heard him preach. And we worked in Florida. Many years. He had a message called From the Mire to the Choir. Psalm 40. Turn over there. This is a man. It's a picture of a man that gets saved and what happens to him. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. That's when you got saved right there. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. I wonder who that rock is. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And establish my goings. What does the Lord do when you get saved? And he hath put a new song. There's an old song.
Yes, sir.
And he put a new song in there.
Yes, sir.
And it's very important to see. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's the song. That's the hymn right there. Praise our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, we teach door-to-door evangelism and, getting in your face, but be kind. But there is a lifestyle element. If people see you change and see you, it's permanent, they're going to see it. It said, many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. And what are they seeing? They're seeing that your song changed, your manner of life changed. It changes because an old song has to go away. Even though you might like to listen to it, it's got to go away. It cannot be your staple. Just put some Christian words to it and say, I'm okay, because you're not going to grow. Look, if you would, and I'll show you another verse just like this, a bunch, but 2 Corinthians 5. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to wind this up in about an hour. Just hang with me, okay? 2 Corinthians, he told me, he said, man, my people like long preaching. I said, well, thank God, amen. 1 Corinthians, don't encourage me. 2 Corinthians, I promised these young ladies I was going to take them to eat. Where was the place we're going to eat? Twist and Shake. I'm glad it's not Twist and Shout. Okay. All right. Y'all don't know what that is, do you? My age, you know, you've heard that. Was that Chubby Checker or somebody way back yonder? My wife would know. Talk to her after the service, okay? Therefore, if any man. Now, look at this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. You know, those are two of my favorite words in the Bible. In Christ. Hey, you ought to look up the number of times in your New Testament, and that means you're saved. When you're in Christ, all that means is you're saved. In Christ Jesus. It's there many times. It just talks about a man that's saved. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Now look at this. Old things are passed away. Do you think old things right there might include your music? Is it possible it includes your music? I think so. Behold, all things are become new. I think your music needs to change. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, you've got to prove all that to me. And I think the Bible does that. I'm going to show you some verses on that in a minute. But there is an old song, and there's a new song. And that old song is a carnal song. It's a rock song. It's a worship the devil song. It's a party song. It's just follow the flesh. It's rebel. It's what it's about. And then there's a new song that when you give yourself to Christ. See, when you get saved, you're not forced. You're going to heaven. But it's a choice to live for Him and to grow. I have no doubt that some of these contemporary churches see people get saved. One of the men that had been in a long time, he said, it was a mile wide, all these people we were seeing get saved, and an inch deep. There was no growth in the people. Why? Because they didn't have a good Bible. And they didn't have the right kind of music. How are you going to grow? Not going to do it. Okay? Now let's look at Ephesians 5. And we'll start to wrap it up. Here's the context. Let's make sure we've got the right thing here. Here's the context, Ephesians 5. Verse 1 and 2 is about somebody getting saved. Therefore, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, a saved person, right? And walk in love as Christ loved us and given himself for us. So it's talking about us, we're saved. But then look what it starts to what's the themes? Here's what you got to avoid. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Well, what is this music all about? This country and Western music, what's it all about? What's rock music all about? The music. I'm not talking about the words. Now, we know what the words are. But the music is about this stuff right here. And it will lead you. Then it tells you in verse 10, here it is, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. We live in America where man's innocent until proven guilty. Right? I like that. They've kind of turned that on its head recently. But well, that's not y'all can let your preacher talk to you about that. But it's the way it is. But we have some things as a believer we've got to prove. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is that music acceptable? That wrong music? That rock music? That contemporary music? You know what 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We got to prove. Our music needs to be proven, and it can be in the Bible. The Bible tells us not to have, here in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done in secret. What all this music do? This wrong side, rock music, country music. It's a shame to even speak of those things, and that's what all the music's about. Hey, you can take out the words, and the themes are still there. Absolutely there. All right, we've said that enough times. So there's a right song and a wrong song. I want you to notice two things here as we conclude. It's very important, and we'll turn back over to Colossians. It's very important to notice you have to have the right song. I think this church probably does. But is there somebody out here that's kind of leaning? We've lost them out of our church. Just trying to, You're either going to follow the word of God or not. You're either going to determine, you're going to trust your preacher. You're going to have to trust the word of God. Your preacher will tell you to trust the book more than even him. That's the final authority. But the book is just full of stuff about music, and the stories are there to tell you what wrong music is. And there is wrong music and right music. And now you have to prove it. And then once you prove it, are you going to follow it? What are you going to do? So this is what it says in Colossians 3. It's very important to have the right music, but then you've got to have the right singer singing it. Colossians chapter 3, look at this. Let the word of God of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing how? A person with grace in their heart. Okay? Look at verse 15, and this is also in the other passage. Thankful. Be ye thankful. And who do you sing to? To the Lord. To the Lord. It's got, that's got, if we get that right, we're going to have the right music. You're not going to sing this junk to the Lord. You can sing it to an audience. You can put on a show. And you can have whatever you want to have. But if it's the right music and you're singing to the holy God, you are not going to be singing this music that the music itself is about fornication, immorality, rebellion, doing drugs. That's all it's about. And that's what it's used for. You're not going to sing that to God. You're going to try to impress some friends with how well you can sing. And then when you read on there just a little bit, and this is what I believe this with all my heart. You better do, since we're singing, you better do the best you can. It's very important that you grow in your ability to sing. You know, if you're going to be in a, we have, church is made up of all the congregation. I call that making a joyful noise. Everybody can make a joyful noise. Sometimes it hurts your ear. It's okay. But we can all make a joyful noise. But then those that can stay on pitch and their voices blend and they can maybe be in special music, and some go beyond that level. They can sing solos and things like that. But it's very important that you keep growing. I've told these young ladies over and over again, you cannot be satisfied that you have a B-level voice or a B-minus voice or a B-plus voice or an A-minus voice. You need to grow. You got to work at this thing. You want to pronounce correctly. You've got to, you know, you got to communicate with the audience. Not flirt with them. Communicate. And, you know, you've got to deliver. Like your pastor preaches. See, that's an art. Music is an art. Preaching is a call, but it's an art. The ability to deliver and give invitations, those type of things. I love great preachers. I mean, just there's just something about them. And look what it says here. Whatsoever, verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it how? Heartily. So we're supposed to do this heartily. Who? As to the Lord and not to men. Well, I'm going to shut it down right there. I think I've given you enough tonight. Hopefully it will help you in this area. I want you to, I'm afraid, I don't think he would have asked me to speak on this unless he was concerned. There might be some young people, some teenagers, some college age young people here that you've got a little bit of a bent. You want to listen to that. Hey, it can be fun to listen to. The pleasures of sin are always for a season. But we have lost too many young people, and they start. It's just innocuous, just a little bit. Just starts, oh, you know, I'm not listening really. It's, you know, we've had, and these young ladies will tell you, every once in a while they'll bring a song to Miss Gayla and I, and I'll have to say no. And it's not that they're trying to do something bad, but somebody has to warn them. That source, I always look at the source. And I see where it's coming from. And then I'll listen to how it's put together. The right music is put together the right way. And it's very, very important. You need someone you can trust. And I'm sure y'all have those people. But you need to, instead of getting hooked on it and start listening to it and like it, and all of a sudden you've got an appetite for it, and it's going to be a battle the rest of your life, you need to quell that. You need to stop that now. Okay? You young people need to think. And you young adults, you might like to listen to country and western. What do y'all listen to around? Anybody listen to country and western around here? Country music? I bet you do. I bet you do. You know what? It can be fun to listen to. Sure it can. Jazz can be fun to listen to, but you cannot make that your diet. In fact, you just need to leave it alone. You never know what's going to hook you when you start down a road. You might listen to one song, you might want to listen to another one. You never know. So there could be some folks here tonight. Are you wavering in this area? Is there someone tonight that's wavering? Would you commit tonight to stay strong in this area? I am. Hey, there's so much good music. I'm not talking about our table. We've got 6 or 7 CDs out there, but I'm sure y'all have got availability of a lot of good. Don't tell me you don't have good stuff to listen to. Okay? It's out there if you want to listen to the right kind of music. Get some instructions. If it's doubtful, don't. Okay? Don't do it. And just stay strong in your music. It'll help you stay strong in your book. Your book will keep you strong in your music. And music will keep you strong in the book. And it'll keep you strong in your standards. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight to talk to these dear folks. They've been very receptive. And Lord, I pray that I don't know the condition of the hearts of the people here tonight, but I'm sure there's a reason the pastor wanted me to speak on this subject. And Lord, I've seen it. Those very close to me, there's been some that have just gone the other direction. You just wonder, how in the world could they do that? But it just starts with a little bit. And then before long, you don't know where it's ever going to stop once that movement starts with music and the Bible and standards and separation wherever they are. And I pray you'd help these, put a hedge about this congregation, these people. May their music be right and pure and clean. Lord, the music is enjoyable. We can learn to love the right kind of music. It can be lively. It can be loud. It can be enjoyable, but it must be a music that worships and magnifies you and is spiritual and thinks of spiritual themes and motives. So I pray you'd work here tonight. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.